We are continuing our look into the scriptures in 1 Chronicles. And I remind you, before I started this book, I asked y'all, what book do you think I'm going to be preaching from? Because I'm thinking it is the most difficult book to preach from. I don't know how many of y'all remember that. But you remember we started out with 10 chapters of about 1,200 names. What a challenge. Well, let me tell you, once you get in chapter 23 of 1 Chronicles, all the way through chapter 27, 28, there's more names and more names and more names. But God gives those names for a purpose. God's got a purpose as far as in recording His Word, and it is all God's Word from cover to cover. Genesis to Revelation. God's got a purpose. Even if we might not see or understand at times why exactly there's such a long list of names. In 1 Chronicles 23, what we find, in the very first verse, the Word of God tells us that David was old and full of days. We have been looking at David's life. The chronicler, after finishing all those genealogies in the first 10 chapters, he gave about 7 verses on King Saul, and then he pretty much devoted the rest up to this point through chapter 10 all the way through chapter 22 to King David. You remember he is writing to those that were exiled. They were coming back from captivity. So what he's doing, he is encouraging them and he's showing them, here is a king that you need. You need one like David. He's giving them hope as they're coming back to the promised land, because the promised land itself has been devastated from captivity and the war that went on. They're coming back, there's no temple. They're coming back probably to no homes, no goods that they have other than what they've accumulated from exile. And so what he's doing, he's encouraging these men and women. And he tells us at the end of David's life. Now, chapters 23 all the way through 29, it talks about David. And it's very interesting how it talks about him, because it gives it in an order, but then it reverses the order. Here, starting out, it tells us that David is old. He's full of days. That means he's satisfied with the days that he has lived. He's come, you might say, to a ripe old age. For those of us who are aging, we can just simply say we're ripening for the Lord. And what he does in verse 1, the Word of God tells us, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. This is kind of like a transition of power, but it's not a full transition of power, because Solomon does not take the throne right at this time. David is still ruling. He is still king, and it's almost like it's a co-reign. They're reigning together, but David is really taking him under his wing. What we have in chapters 23 through 28, the chronicler gives us a record with extensive lists of those whom David has gathered together for the assembly. And what we have in verse 1 and verse 2 is basically an outline from chapters 23 to 27, but what the chronicler does, he actually takes this outline and he reverses the order. In other words, it says in verse 2 that David gathered together all the princes or rulers of Israel with the priest and the Levites. And then what you're going to find in chapters 23, the rest of the way down, from chapter 23, verse 6, the latter part of that verse, all the way through chapter 27, you're going to find David talking about the Levites first, then the priest, and then the other rulers. So he actually inverts that. This time period when this happened was roughly around 973 BC. David, what he does, he adapts the services of the Levites, because the Levites are to assist the priest in worship. And so what he does, he kind of tweaks that worship just a little bit to be more accommodating for the temple. Now you remember what David has done. He has accumulated much goods, literally tons and tons of materials to build the temple. God had told him, you cannot build the temple because you're a man of blood. You're a man of war. You have shed much blood. Therefore, Solomon is going to build the temple. God told him that. So David, in verse 1, explains Solomon is going to be king. And the purpose is that he might build the temple. Now you remember what the name Solomon means. Solomon means peaceful. And you remember he had a name that God gave him, Jedidiah, loved of the Lord. So here, Solomon is peaceful. David was a man of war. Without David's warring and conquering the lands around him, Solomon would not have peace. So David has fulfilled God's purpose for his life in that sense. What we find are the names of the heads of the families of the tribe of Levi, which are given in verse 3 all the way down to verse 24. And what they have, the chronicler does, he shows that David actually divided these groups up into four different groups. There is kind of like the staff of the sanctuary, those who are taking care of the sanctuary that was in the wilderness. They haven't built the temple yet. There are those, and they are basically in charge of organizing. What you find in chapters 25 is the musicians. They sing and they have instruments. Then you find there are the gatekeepers, or the porters, as it's called in the King James Version, and they're the ones over security. They're letting certain people in the temple. Certain people have access in certain areas. And then there's the officers and the judges, and they are over the administration or keeping records and this type of thing. In chapter 23, what we see, David has named Solomon king. And what we see here, I want you to read down with me and follow with me. The Word of God says he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward. And their number by their poles, man by man, was 38,000. There are 38,000 Levites that are serving, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. And 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters or doorkeepers. And 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. And David divided them into the courses or into groups among the sons of Levi. What David does as he divides these groups up, they start serving at the age of 30. You remember in Numbers chapter 4, it talks about how the Levites, they start service at the age of 30. They start serving. And then by the age of 50, they step down from that service. Now, David's going to make a change in that, but I want you to follow along with me as we look at this. Here, it says, David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And these are the ones who actually took care of the skins of the tabernacle. There were literally layers and layers and layers of animal skins covering the tabernacle. And of the Gershonites were Leadon and Shimei. The sons of Leadon, the chief, was Jehiel and Zetham and Joel, three. The sons of Shimei, Shelomith and Haziel and Haran. Three. These were the chief of the fathers of Leadon. And the sons of Shimei were Jahath and Zinah and Jeush and Beriah. These four were the sons of Shimei. And Jahath was the chief and Ziza the second. But Jeush and Beriah had not many sons, therefore they were in one reckoning, according to their father's house. Then he talks about the Kohathites. There is the Gershonites. Now he says in verse 12, the sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel, four. They were in charge of the furniture that was inside the tabernacle. And here it says the sons of Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Aaron was separated that he should sanctify the most holy things, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless his name forever. Now concerning Moses, the man of God, his sons were named of the tribe of Levi. Here, for a priest, to be a priest, they had to come from the tribe of Levi, but from the tribe of Levi, they had to come from the lineage of Aaron. Now the sons of Moses were Gershom and Eleazar. Of the sons of Gershom, Shebuel was the chief. And the sons of Eleazar were Rehabiah the chief. Eleazar had none other sons, but the sons of Rehabiah were very many. Of the sons of Izhar, Shelomith the chief. Of the sons of Hebron, Jeriah the first, and Amariah the second, Jehaziel the third, and Jachamiam the fourth. Of the sons of Uziel, Micah the first, and Jesiah the second. The sons of Merari. Now this is the third group. They're the ones who actually took care of the structure, the wooden posts and pillars and things like that. And it says his sons were Mali, Mushai, and the sons of Mali, Eleazar and Kish. And Eleazar died, and he had no sons but daughters, and their brethren, the sons of Kish, took them. The sons of Mushai, Mali, and Eder, and Jeremoth, three. These were the sons of Levi, after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by the number of names by their polls, that did the work for the house, or service of the house of the Lord, from the age of 20 years and upward. Now notice here, there's a change in age when they started serving. They start serving at the age of 20 years and up, whereas we read previously, they started at the age of 30 in verse 3. Because, here's why the change was. David said, the Lord God of Israel has given rest unto his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also unto the Levites, that they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it for the service thereof. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. Now the reason there was a change of 10 years from 30 to 20 is because they needed more workers. They needed more serving in the house and service of the Lord. Because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers and purifying of all the holy things, the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread, for the fine flour, for meat offering, for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and for that which is fried, and for all manner of measure and size. Now we saw last week, David had gathered all this materials, but what we see in here in reading these passages of Scripture, David also organized details in the service of the Lord. Notice how meticulous David is. This organization that he has, it's ultimately going to help Solomon as he becomes king. One of the things that he starts that was not started before, he has the first choral service. Notice what it says once again in verse 5. Moreover, 4,000 were porters. 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. David made 4,000 instruments for people to play. Man, that's a lot of instruments. Now, granted, they might not have been elaborate. Some of them might have been a little bit elaborate. But here, David was a master musician. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's got singers and he's got musicians. And notice what their job is. Look down in verse 30. Their job is to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. Every morning at the break of dawn, as soon as the day starts for them, they get up, they thank the Lord, and they praise the Lord. And then at even, when the sun goes down, they also praise and thank the Lord. What a job. There are basically three families here. But notice what it says in chapter 25 and verse 1 concerning this choral group. In chapter 25, in verse 1, "Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph, and of Heman, and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was," and it gives the names of all of them. Here, their job was to prophesy. They were seers. They played instruments. The Word of God says they had psalteries, they had harps, they had cymbals. They prophesied with music. And here, within those three names, one thing I kind of challenge you to do, if you'd like a little bit of a Bible study, I challenge you to go through the Psalms. Find there the name of Asaph. He wrote some psalms. These were the songs they sang in Israel. There are some by Asaph, there are some by Heman, and there are some by Jeduthun. I challenge you to find those psalms. They're there. And here, these are the ones who actually wrote them. From these three families, what they did, they passed down from generation to generation their musical talents and abilities to work with these instruments that David made. You know, one of the fascinating things, I've got a friend up there in Irvin. Wanda, you don't know where Irvin's at, do you? Irvin. Irvin, Kentucky. Oh, Brother Cheryl Thomas. Y'all know Brother Cheryl. You know, Brother Cheryl's family kind of reminds me here of this particular situation. He's pastored for probably close to 40 years. But he's musically inclined. Actually, Sarah did a paper in college on him. And he's actually made his own mandolin. He's made a couple other instruments. Very interesting fella. But he comes from a family of musicians that did that. That go back in the mountains. And I mean, his heritage is back in the mountains. And they all pass that skill and ability down, and it's come down to Brother Cheryl. Now, I don't know if his sons have got that. But you see that principle played out in Scripture, even in our day and time. A lot of times, people who are musically inclined pass that down to their sons and daughters, don't they? You see what great piano playing I do. That's why Sarah plays so good. Not. That's Lydia. She got that from her, not me. But oftentimes, that which is in the parents, they are gifted and God has gifted them. And that gifts, they are trained and taught and it works its way down. And here's what happened, even with Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun and those families, they passed that skills, the musical skills that they had, down from generation to generation to generation. What you find in chapters 23 through 25, you find that David has organized 288 singers. What a choir! 288, they're the main singers. And he divides them in 24 groups of 12 each. They basically serve a week and they kind of rotate around. I find that very interesting. The total number, as we said, was 4,000. That's how many instruments David made. There were 6,000 officers and judges. There were 4,000 doorkeepers. And the other 24,000 that are remaining, they were designated to the general work of the house of the Lord. You see, there was great organization when it came to worshiping the Lord. It was not something flippant, or to use an expression in our day and time, they weren't just flying by the seat of their pants. They were organized in worshiping the Lord. The Word of God says they stood every morning to thank. The word "thank" there means to throw or to shoot. It's like literally shooting thanks unto God each morning. You know what? God has made us kings and priests. God desires to hear thanks unto Him. I'm going to tell you this, if you start thanking God and praising God like these men did, each morning and each evening, your day will go a lot better. If you could just kind of see how this worked. He highlights the initiating of praise at the start of every day. What was that like? Can you imagine living in Israel back in this day and time when Solomon became king? There's peace throughout the land. There are organized singers singing praise, waking up at dawn. And can you imagine living in Jerusalem, hearing them sing? Can you imagine a choir singing, waking you up each day? What do they sing? I want you to look with me in Psalm 88. In the 88th Psalm, I think we can get a little foretaste of what that worship was like back in that day and time. Notice the inscription right before the psalm. In Psalm 88, it says, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah to the chief musician upon Mahath Halath Leonoth, Maskell of Heman. Recognize that name, Heman? There's one of the psalms I told you need to look for, the Ezraite. And here is the psalm. This is probably what portions of this psalm they cried out in the morning unto God, or maybe in the evening unto God. Listen to what it says. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Your ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom Thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from the land. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Your wrath lies hard upon me, and You have afflicted me with all Your waves. Selah. You have put away mine acquaintance far from me. You have made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up. I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourns by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon Thee. I have stretched out my hands unto Thee. These are the ones that cry out each morning. Will You show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise You? Selah. Shall Thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or Thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall Your wonders be known in the dark, and Your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto Thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent Thee, or go to meet You. You see, they cried out first thing in the morning. Lord, why castest Thou off my soul? Why hidest Thou Thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer Thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goes over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast Thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness. That's a song from Heman. Now they sang that. To what kind of tune they sang that to, I don't have a clue. Notice another psalm in 134. The 134th psalm. Notice the inscription there. It says, a song of degrees. Here, it's a song for the doorkeepers, the porters. What do they sing? Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. They're the doormen. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless you out of Zion. Here are the ones in charge of worship. Let me tell you, worship and song are united together. The greatest way you can express thanks and praise is through song. We hear God's word. He speaks to us. But you know what? We pray to God, but we also sing praise unto God and give thanks unto God. What David has done, he coordinated these arrangements with a couple other guys. I want you to look over in 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Look down in verse 25. This is in the time of Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 29 and down in verse 25, the Word of God says this. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, with harps, according to the commandment of David, and of Gad the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. In other words, David was guided by Gad and by Nathan the prophets as far as organizing all these instruments and singers together. And it says in verse 26, notice this type of worship was still going on, and the Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priest with the trumpets. This was hundreds of years after David has passed off the scene. The Word of God continues. In verse 31 through 32 in chapter 23, we have the conclusion of that chapter. And what the Word of God tells us is the further responsibilities of these Levites. They were to offer burnt sacrifices. A burnt sacrifice was a giving everything unto the Lord. It means it was totally consumed by fire. And they did that unto the Lord in the Sabbaths, the day of rest, in the new moons and on the set feast, by number according to the order commanded unto them, continually before the Lord. And that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, in charge of the holy place, in charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of the Lord. I want you to leave with this thought. As we've looked at God's Word tonight, in chapter 23 of 1 Chronicles, we have seen how we can better worship the Lord. We give Him thanks early in the morning. We give Him praise early in the morning. We give Him thanks in the evening. And we give Him praise in the evening. We thank Him for the sacrifice, the whole sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was totally consumed. He gave His whole life for sinners such as you and I. You know what? If they can give sacrifice back in that day and time, we ought to at least give thanks for the great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ daily. Giving thanks and giving praise because of what He has done for us. If we have been purchased by the blood of Christ, we ought to bring the sacrifice of praise daily unto Him, giving thanks with a grateful heart. We're going to stand and sing a hymn. I've got one written down, but I'm going to give you a different one because I'd like you to go with this passage of Scripture in verse 30. And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. On page 68 in your hymnal, we have the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. And it talks about how early in the morning my song shall rise to Thee. My challenge to you is that when you get up in the morning, you give thanks and praise unto the God above. Let's stand and sing.